When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
A red tsunami is coming. Evan McMullen versus Mike Lee and a WTF Wednesday you're not going to want to miss. This is Critical Thinking. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Pat Oney. You can follow us on social media. I'm at The Coppins Show. He's at The Pat Oney Show. As always, do not forget to download, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And you can watch us every single Monday through Friday over on the Rumble page, rumble.com/criticalthinking. For those of you who like to watch, not just listen to the show. It is going to be an interesting WTF Wednesday because what is the title of the show again, Pat?
It's Critical Thinking.
With I love Pat catching you off guard, by the way. It's fun.
Yeah, see, you just totally missed what I said.
What?
You asked me what the title of the show was, mm-hmm. and I apparently caught you off guard.
No, you didn't catch me off guard. I just noticed that you were unprepared to answer my question.
Well, yeah, but you didn't respond to my jab there. And I'm surprised that you didn't. Like, you just like blatantly ignored it.
Yep, because that's how you do it. You ignore the gadflies. That reference is going to come up later in the show, folks. That reference is coming up later in the show. You're not going to want to miss that. But yes, this show is Critical Thinking with Andrew Coppins and Pat Oney. But yes, Critical Thinking is going to come into play later on in the WTF Wednesday segment. But before we get into all of that, it is election season. We're just a few weeks away from the midterm elections here in 2022. In the state of Illinois, Amendment 1 is a very, very important thing and an important reason to get out and vote. Yes, we have a governor's race here in the state. I highly doubt Darren Bailey is winning. But the only chance that he really has is the depression of the vote here in the city of Chicago. And I will say this, there is little to no motivation. Nobody's talking about voting. Nobody's talking about getting out. Nobody, that is not a conversation had around the dinner table, dinner parties, gatherings, social events. I have never once in my entire time out in the public sphere over the last month heard anybody talking about the election. That could be good news for Darren Bailey. That could be. But I will say this. The only reason why this election matters here in the state of Illinois is Amendment 1. And Amendment 1 basically codifies the ability of every single union in this state to bargain for anything. And by anything, I mean they can bargain that you as your employer or you as the government must pass or advocate for XYZ law. What? Also, it would guarantee their ability to endlessly continue pension issues. Okay? They'll be able to get a pension no matter what, no contributions, no nothing. I'm telling you right now, if you don't pay attention in the state of Illinois to Amendment 1, vote no on Amendment 1. You're doing it wrong. It is the single issue. I don't care who you're voting for governor. Literally handing the keys to the castle of the people who put us into the ditch is insane. That is what Amendment 1 would do. It would give the keys to the castle to teachers' unions, to public sector unions, to be able to write, to be able to legislate without being elected. They would be able to advocate for, like CPA, okay, or like the CTU, excuse me, the Chicago Teachers Union has attempted to do. They've attempted to collectively bargain over things that have abso-freaking-lutely nothing to do with their ability to teach in the classroom. Nothing. CPS has given in. We as a state can't afford to do that. And if that passes, we're screwed. And I cannot wait to get the hell out of the state if that passes. I am telling you right now, you want to see what California looks like if it were to actually fall off the cliff? Watch Illinois pass Amendment 1. Now, with that being said, Pat, my PSA for those of us in the state of Illinois transitions into a question of a red tsunami. And before we get into this red tsunami, one of the races that allegedly has been close, and we talked about this, I believe, last week, has been the Evan McMuffin, I mean McMullen, versus incumbent.
No. McMuffin was right. You had it right.
Oh, okay. Versus incumbent Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, one of the greatest advocates of the Constitution and one of the greatest scholars of the Constitution to have ever, in the history of this country, gone to the Senate. I'm not saying that he is going to necessarily win here, but the reality is that Mike Lee is exactly that, Pat. He is one of the greatest scholars of the Constitution, one of the most on demand, on top of the head, off the top of the head, scholars of the Constitution of the United States of America, one of the greatest defenders of the Constitution of the United States of America. Over the weekend, they had a debate. We were told that this is just a massively close race, like 2-3 points, according to, you mean the Deseret News? You mean the Desperate News?
In the Salt Lake Tribune. And not to mention, a lot of that polling information that you're seeing when it's close is coming from McMuffin's campaign.
Right, because, again, folks, McMuffin is the ultimate grifter. Okay? McMuffin is a grifter. He has always been that. He is, what was his job, right? He was in the CIA. He was a spook in the CIA. Okay? This man has spent his entire adult life being a chameleon. Nobody has a clue who the hell this man really is, what he actually believes, other than how do I climb the ladder of power more and more and more. That's really the only thing he believes in is power. I would suggest he's Machiavelli incarnate, like reincarnated, right?
Right.
That's my suggestion here.
Well, the thing is that, you know, whether it's actually going to be close or not, I think it's probably going to be, based upon what I saw of this debate the other night, and I'll be honest, I didn't watch the debate. I watched clips.
Because you're a smart human being.
Right. I got into – I watched clips. I talked to people I knew. I knew that watched it, that have been involved with the camp, with Mike Lee and with other campaigns around the state and what's going on, and just kind of getting their pulse on things. Mike Lee fundamentally kicked McMullen's ass in this debate. And by all accounts on social media, including people that are more centered left, centered right, were even saying that too. The only ones that were saying that McMullen won were those that were solidly supporting the left, Democratic policies, things like that. So fundamentally, if you're winning independents, it's Mike Lee.
Right. And we're going to talk about this in three different phases, I think. We're going to talk about the individual race. We're going to talk about what we talked about a few weeks ago, actually. And then we're going to talk about what we see happening on election night here, because we're just a few weeks out of the 2022 election. And I want to play a clip here because I think this clip is indicative of how this night went, what McMullen is all about, and then we'll discuss. But this is just a few minutes of the exchange from the debate last weekend.
But for you to talk about the importance of the Electoral College, I think is rich. I think you know exactly how important it is. And I think you knew how important it was when you sought to urge the White House that had lost an election to find fake electors to overturn the will of the people. Senator Lee, that was the most egregious betrayal of our nation's Constitution in its history by a U.S. senator, I believe, and it will be your legacy. Senator Lee is still casting doubt.
Please.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen, you just took about 7 or 8 minutes away from the candidates. We're here to hear them.
Senator Lee, you advised spurious so-called legal efforts to mislead tens of millions of Americans that the election had been stolen. And congratulations, you succeeded. As recently as this year, and even tonight, you're still casting doubt on the legitimacy of the election. No, you're doing a tremendous disservice to this country, Senator Lee. You have betrayed your oath to the Constitution with this. It is and for this state, Utah, that was founded by people like my ancestors and yours, who sacrificed greatly to finally realize true freedom, for you to represent this state and to cast away, to abandon, to throw away 14 generations of American leadership, I think is a travesty.
Senator Lee, a 30-second rebuttal.
Evan, that's not true. It is. You know that's not true. You sir, owe me an apology. Listen. In the days leading up to January 6th, when the votes were going to be open and counted, I had a job to do. There were rumors circulating suggesting that some states were considering switching out their slates of electors. If that were true, I would need to know about it. I did research on that. I made phone calls to figure out whether the rumors were true. The rumors were false. On that basis, I voted to certify the results of the elections.
Which he did do. He did certify the election.
He 100% voted to certify the election.
Right. That's contrary to everything McMullen just said.
100% contrary and 100% provable. Now, we had discussed this off air, Pat, but one of the claims that McMullen has made is that along the way from the election to January 6th, right, is that Mike Lee was there advising President Donald Trump on various ways that he could, you know, spuriously get around election law or to subvert the will of the people, right? Mm-hmm. As he likes to put it. Funny part is there's receipts out there, Pat, right? You would think that if Evan McMullen would be able to make this case, right, he would have evidence. How do I know that he should have evidence? Because literally every piece of communication between him and anybody else in government between election night and January 6th was subpoenaed. It is part of the public record today, Pat. You and I could go and find it. In fact, Stu Bregier of the Glenn Beck program has put a timeline together showing exactly what was taking place here. Now, it is true that following the election, leading up to, I believe, the day that the AP announced it, that Joe Biden was going to win the 2020 presidential vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is true that Mike Lee advocated for what, Pat? He advocated for legal challenges in states like Arizona, states like Wisconsin, states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, or not Ohio, Georgia.
With good reason.
Mm-hmm.
With good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about 2 years later, we're seeing why they should have in the first place.
Because as we go 2 years down the road, we know that in the state of Arizona, there were shenanigans. We know that in the state of Wisconsin, there are people being charged with crimes for what they did in the 2020 election. We know that Mark Zuckerberg actually should be in jail in the state of Wisconsin, by the way, right now. Because he illegally contributed to direct political advocacy and direct funding of public elected officials. That's illegal in the state of Wisconsin, who oversaw not just the voting count, but also the collection, storage of the vote, who also violated state law with their Dropbox Anywhere policies in just so happened to be heavily Democratic areas like Racine, the city of Racine, like Milwaukee, like Dane County. We know that in Georgia, things were not right. Now, we also know that in Atlanta, they've just refused to do anything about it. They've refused to really look into it. But following in, as we follow the yellow brick road, if you will, all the way down to January 6th, right? The insurrection day. What do we see? Mike Lee dropping hint after hint after hint after hint that, hey, you guys need to find the receipts. And if you don't, we have markers that we have to follow vis-a-vis the Constitution. He advocated and advised them to do so in those timely fashions. And as soon as they couldn't come with those receipts, we have all the proof vis-a-vis text messages, emails, all of it, right? We have it all that proves that Mike Lee advocated for them to stop with the rhetoric, stop with the "you've stolen the election," because they couldn't come up with anything that would show it in court. And he told them, literally overturning the election vis-a-vis electors, vis-a-vis news slates, vis-a-vis all these conspiracy theories, was antithetical to the Constitution. It didn't exist. There's no mechanism for it. There you go. His advocacy of overturning the election was not about overturning the election. His advocacy was do it legally, find a way, find the evidence, and I'll support you. That's literally what he said. And he literally has a conversation on January 6th with Mark Meadows that says, yeah, I'm afraid that I can't do this, number one. Number two, what the hell's going on? Mark Meadows and him behind the scenes are having conversations for months at this time about the insanity that is going on within the Trump campaign. You would think that if what Evan McMuffin, because again, this man is the greatest grifter in American political history. I cannot think of anybody else who has grifted more than him. He grifted the non-Trump wanting Republicans, right? The people who didn't like what Donald Trump was about or who he is as a character, as a person, his character, right? He grifted them into believing he was Trump policy-wise with the morality that they would have liked, right?
Right. He is neither of those things, by the way.
Right. Because he is funded and he takes his campaign donations from what? Access Blue, right? Or whatever the hell it's called. It is the Democratic fundraising, literally apparatus. It is the apparatus, the funding. So if you went to Evan McMuffin's campaign website, right, and went to click on donate, I believe it's Donate Blue or Access Blue. I can't remember which one it is, but you would be going through their donation system. By the way, the Republicans also have a very similar donation system of their own. Why is he not using that? They don't sit there and say that you can't use that. 92% or 97, it's one of the two. I can't quite remember. It's 92 or 97. Either way, it's over 90% of all of his campaign donations so far in this senatorial race have come from leftist people or organizations. Less than 10% have come from either average everyday citizen or Republican-based groups. Less than 10%. That's the grift we see today, Pat. He is now telling the left he is going to be their friend, right?
Right.
This is part and parcel of the conversation we had about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney refuses to support Mike Lee. Mitt Romney, for all the things I don't like about him, is at least not 100% a leftist. He is not 100% funded by the left, therefore having to do the bidding of the left. Evan McMuffin is. Evan McMuffin will vote with the left around every corner, at every opportunity, because he loves himself some power, right? So he will be able to wield that axe of power, right? And watch me, you know, that constitutional conservative he claims to be, that lover of the Constitution. He's going to make Mitt Romney and his long-term advocacy of punishing the faithful, of being Barack Obama's Obamacare before Obamacare existed, right? Remember the history of being a leftist when it came to government from Mitt Romney, when he was governor of the state of Massachusetts. Remember that version of Mitt Romney? Evan McMuffin will make that look like child's play.
Yeah. Notice, though, when we played that clip, as McMuffin is going through his line of dialogue, he gets booed. Like, heavily booed.
Also, can we talk about, could you get some more professional freaking lighting?
Yeah, no kidding.
What I don't understand, okay, Pat, look. This is going on television. There's no backlighting. I'm not saying that we're perfect in our lighting situations. I'm not saying that.
No, we're not.
But nor should we expect to be. I'm not hiring professional. I don't have a professional studio, right? I don't have professional everything. I have professional equipment, but I'm not somebody who this isn't my job, right?
Right.
What the hell is going? There's this massive back shadow. It is really, really simple to get rid of, right?
Right.
You put a backlight up. When you see people and they've got this kind of haloed look right in the background of them, that's a backlight. And it's done to do what? Remove shadows. This isn't that hard. I could have lit that better.
Yeah.
It is jarring to watch. Now, also really boring to watch is a debate like this. I honestly question this the entire time. Unless we have a narrowed in campaign time frame, and more importantly, a narrowed in ability of people, like you each get equal amounts of time on air type of a deal. And we as the public are funding not just like, we're not funding campaigns, but we're funding the advertising time, right? Like, hey, we're gonna do this as a public, right? Kind of like they do in Britain, right? I really do advocate for their kind of apparatus. Like, you have a very specific time frame in which you can be in campaign mode. The one side, the other side, all sides get equal amounts of airtime. And then in a debate, all sides that are running get equal time. Unless we're going down that route, right? Unless we're doing that, people like McMuffin are going to come out of the woodworks. He has tried everything to not just subvert Donald Trump, right? Because that was his grift from the very get-go, is that I'm the anti-Donald Trump. I am the anti-morality of Donald Trump.
And that's still his grift.
Right, but that has gone, but he's gone beyond that now.
True.
He is literally anti-Republican. And so as we back that up, Pat, I want you to hear how Mike Lee goes after him later on in this debate, because this, I think, proves the grift beyond anything else.
If we weren't staring right down the barrel of a deep and dark economic recession, if we weren't seeing reckless federal spending causing us to careen into a situation where we're seeing spikes in inflation, spikes in interest rates, and spikes in the price of gas, if we weren't seeing our adversaries around the world saber-rattling with nuclear weapons and a president speaking of Armageddon, perhaps in that moment, seriously entertaining the idea of supporting an opportunistic gadfly supported by the Democratic Party might make for interesting dinner table conversation, but this is not an ordinary year.
Callback.
Quite the analogy.
Opportunistic gadfly. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. That's exactly who Evan McMuffin is. He hasn't met an opportunity that he doesn't want to take advantage of, right?
Right.
As long as it hurts the Republican Party. Do you notice that along the way? He claims to be about being a Republican, but real Republican, old school, but Republican. Old school Republicans want nothing to do with the Democratic Party. Especially the Democratic Party as it exists today. Because the Democratic Party today is a party of the left. It is not a party of liberals. Now, I want to move beyond just McMuffin, Mike Lee, because I think what we see in that debate and also what we see as the grift of McMuffin proves that you cannot necessarily trust the polls, right? And we talked about this 2 weeks ago, because what was really the narrative almost 2 weeks ago, maybe three? The narrative was, oh, the red wave isn't going to be as big as you think it is, right? It's going to be, it's going to be a 6-footer instead of a 10-foot wave, right?
Right.
Did we buy that?
No.
No, we didn't buy that, mainly because of what they were grabbing onto was D plus, C plus polling at best when it comes to even the ratings of 538, which are spurious at best sometimes. But then when we looked at other, Trafalgar Group stuff, when we look at all of the things that we've been seeing, why, like, the real serious pollers out there have never even polled the state of Utah. Not once. The Deseret News has, McMuffin's campaign has, but that's it.
There is really only, and I've said this before many times talking, just politics in general. Mm-hmm. There's really only one poll that you should ever, ever trust when it comes to elections, and that is the election results.
I also have an anecdotal version of that, Pat, that I think is important. Mm-hmm. Go throughout your state when you're traveling and watch how many signs you notice from one side or the other, okay? Because I traveled basically the state of Wisconsin last weekend, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Probably 3-1 Michaels to Evers. in the governor's race. And Ron Johnson, Mandela Barnes, I would say at least 75-25. Okay. What does that tell me? It tells me about the intensity of the support of a candidate. That's the important part, because these people putting these signs out in their yards or on the highway by their farm, all of that sort of stuff, right? Those are people who are dedicated to voting for that candidate. Okay. Mm. What does that tell me? That tells me the level of support. Now, what if we heard this week, and just from the weekend to today, there's a two-word term that we've heard, a red tsunami, right?
Right.
We've heard red tsunami, red tsunami, red tsunami. And I'm going to ask the same question that I asked 3 weeks ago. Are we buying a red tsunami coming? Just like we are, were we buying that the red wave was going to peter out, if you will, right? 3 weeks ago, that was the question. Now all of a sudden, holy crap, a red tsunami is coming. Are you buying or selling that, Pat? Before you do that,
Bless you. Thank you. I see. I'm allergic to the words apparently red tsunami and red wave.
Okay.
So. Here's the thing. If I'm going to buy into a red tsunami, I mean, we know that they're going to take control of the House. The question is, how much are they going to take control of the Senate? If it's basically a 50-50 split, it's not a red tsunami. If it's, you know, a 52 or upwards to a 54, maybe you could call it a red wave, but I don't know that I would call it a red tsunami. And it also depends on who wins.
Would you though, Pat? Because if that is the case, Pat, I want to be clear about this. There are basically, quote unquote, seven toss up seats, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. Two of them are Republican. Okay.
Right.
That would mean the GOP swept every one of them to get to 54. That means one of those toss-ups goes to the way of the GOP. Okay? But
that's a fair point.
But Pat, the tsunami talk, right? The red wave, the tsunami. I want to ask you about this. You're only looking at the national races. You're only looking at the federal level.
True.
Okay. Let me ask you another question, though. Did you follow who went out on the campaign or whom went out on the campaign trail this weekend?
No, not particularly, no.
Okay. Two important people.
Okay.
Who? The President of the United States, Joseph Marionette Biden.
Uh-huh.
Where did he go?
Did he go to Pennsylvania?
No. Now, Jill did.
Ah, okay.
Got booed at the Eagles game with chants of FJB. That was pretty funny. He went to Oregon. Guess why?
Because that's a toss-up seat right now?
The Republican candidate for governor in that state has a within the margin of error lead.
Oof.
Guess who else was on the campaign trail this weekend in a very hard way? Might have been his boss previously.
Barack Obama?
Barack Obama, who is in Wisconsin right now, who went to New York. Okay, the latest polling there shows Lee Zeldin down by like 3-4% in a heavily Democratic state, to the point in which they are pulling out all of the tricks, right? All of the old people, all of the tricks, literally and figuratively, out of the bag to attempt to hold on to that governor spot. Brian Kemp, they've basically given up in terms of trying to get Stacey Abrams to be the governor of the state of Georgia, right? Florida's, you know, Ron DeSantis all the way. New Mexico is in play potentially.
Right. I guess to clarify what I was talking about, red wave versus red tsunami, though, it's about who wins. And I'm not just talking about Democrat or Republican. I'm talking about, it is the Republican actually someone that's going to uphold conservative values?
Yeah, have you met Lee Zeldin? Lee Zeldin is about as constitutional conservative as you're going to find in the state of.
Sure, sure. You know, I'm just saying. But you know, I question someone like Herschel Walker.
Right, and I understand that. I totally get that. But we have to look beyond just the federal level, because if we're talking about statewide races in New York, in Oregon, in New Mexico, Nevada. Maybe on the very slight chance here in Illinois, I give it like a 2% chance of that actually happening.
Yeah.
But then you look at Wisconsin flipping back, right? You look at Michaels, who looks like he's got a massive lead. In fact, one of the worst hit piece ads I have seen in the election is the Tony Evers. Well, not Tony Evers, but the Tony Evers supporting pack. Trying to tie Tim Michaels into being fostering a culture of sexual harassment and assault over the course of 30 plus years at his company. Okay. The reality of all of these things that they accuse him of is every single one of them had been adjudicated and not a single one of them found to be true. Not one of them. Every one of them went to court some way, somehow. Every single one of them went before a judge. In fact, three or four of these things that they try to talk to us about in the race, trying to tie him into being a sexual predator or whatever, right? Fostering a culture in which men are supposed to, or men had supposedly like propositioned women for jobs and all this other stuff, right? Three or four of them got in front of the judge, and the judge dismissed them with prejudice without ever even seeing a second court date. That's how ridiculous and spurious all of this was. They don't tell you that, but they just take the fact that there was a lawsuit. Okay, well, guess what? And I said this to my dad this weekend. This is how ridiculous this is. I've never once met Tony Evers in my entire life, not one time. Tony Evers sexually assaulted me last weekend, Pat.
Just out of curiosity, would you mind sharing how?
Skeletor. That's all I'm going to say. Does he or does he not look like Skeletor?
I mean, yeah, but...
That's all I'm going to say.
It doesn't make sense.
Too traumatic, Pat.
Too traumatic?
Mm-hmm. I was abused by Skeletor. See, but now I can use that in a political ad, right? I can use that. Tony Evers is a sexual assault monster, right? He is a deviant sexual being. Do you see how that works?
Yeah.
It would be totally spurious of me, right? That's not how this... No, that actually didn't happen. You actually have to have proof. They're attempting to Christine Blasey Ford Tim Michaels right now. It's insane. But the point of all of this is that's the tsunami, right? If you're talking about Wisconsin, Oregon, if you're talking about the potential for now Michigan too, because it looks like Tudor Dixon is gaining quite a bit in that race. You're talking about Kathy Hochul, she is one of the most greatest politicians, like nails on the chalkboard in terms of her thoughts, in terms of how she speaks, in terms of her actual speech. Like, holy hell, she is awful. She is a terrible human being, like 100% terrible. I would put her on the level of like Chrissy Teigen terrible,
or Gretchen Whitmer.
Potentially. But the point of all of this is, if those things are happening along with the potential for almost 40 seat advantage in the House and a 3 or 4 seat advantage in the Senate. On top of all the other local races where we're going to see potentially Oregon's state house become Republican. That type of stuff, that's the tsunami. I mean, we're talking about places in which the Republican Party has no business winning, right?
Right.
Winning and winning at the highest elected office level. When's the last time you remember a Republican being the governor of the state of New York, Pat?
It has to be before even when I was born. It has to be. I would be surprised if it was within my lifetime. Andrew's looking that up as we speak.
Yeah, I am really interested to see when the hell this last happened. Okay, so George Pataki, 1995 to 2006. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
But in our lifetime, Pat, he's the only the only Republican. And in fact, I'm going to go back to the day that my dad was born, okay? Nelson Rockefeller and Malcolm Wilson. Nelson Rockefeller being a Republican is not today's Republican.
Just out of curiosity, what year was that?
January 1st of 1959, he held the post for over 14 years.
So you have to go that far back?
Yeah. 1959 to 1973. From 73 to 82 and then or to 94, excuse me. So 73 to 94, all Democratic. George Pataki was a 12-year governor. And then you had Elliot Spitzer, David Patterson, Andrew Cuomo, and Kathy Hochul. That's an inspiring list. But my point in all of this is, if we're going to get somebody like Lee Zeldin, who we know to be a absolute, at least constitutionally conservative individual into that post, wow.
Yeah.
That's the first time in my life that that's happened. George Pataki does not come across my memory bank as a particularly non-Mitt Romney version of the Republican Party. Let's just put it that way. That's a sea change. That's a wave. That's not even a wave. That's a tsunami coming in, and it's a cultural tsunami more than it is the red wave. And that's why I think that is a sell for me, because it's more about the culture than it is about the politicians.
I was going to say that I would actually buy. I would buy it's more of a cultural wave than it is a political one.
Just like is it the Glenn Youngkin? That was culture. Not him. Yeah,
that was cultural. Absolutely okay. Cultural. Mm-hmm.
That's where I think this is heading. I think the red wave talk is wrong, or the red tsunami talk is wrong. It's a, we're done with your culture. Spirit of the age be gone. That's what that is. And we got more on the spirit of the age coming up here in the WTF segment. But before we get into that, Pat, it is time for us to play the beer, not the beat, for more of Dominic Izzo's money. All right, are you ready?
Oh, I'm very ready.
Hit me with that headline then.
All righty then. Cowboys just glad crowd is booing someone else for once. Cowboys just glad crowd is booing someone else for once. Is this the B or not the B? That is the question while you're thinking about that, Andrew Coppins. Folks, if you haven't gone to Brand Coffee brand, you need to do so.
You, no, you it's mean coffee brand, brand coffee. Coffee?
Why do I always get it backwards? It's coffee brand coffee.
That is literally not hard.
I know, but I for whatever reason I always get it back. And here's the thing. I just ordered yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I just ordered some hot chocolate from them.
And Pat, it's from the great state of Utah.
I know. They're from Farmington.
Like literally like a hop, skip, and a jump from you.
It's about a little over an hour north of me, but yeah.
Okay, so hop, skip, jump, and pogo stick.
It's more like a hop, skip, and a jump, and maybe some twinkle toes, but yeah, it works.
Whatever you leprechauns like to do.
Yeah, so Coffee Brand Coffee. Check them out. All you got to do is use the promo code Critical Thinking. You get 5% off your purchase. I ordered their hot chocolate since I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but I'm very much looking forward to it. I know you've tried their coffee and said it's pretty good so far. They've got all sorts of different great flavors and stuff over there that you can try. They've got different kinds of hot chocolate blends that you can try as well.
And tea.
I'm very much looking forward to it. So
if you're into tea, small batch, yeah. Yep. They've got some really interesting stuff going on there. They have a brand new tea. In fact, let me go ahead and look that up while you're talking about Coffee Brand Coffee.
Well, yeah. So all you need to do, folks, while he's looking that up, is go to coffeebrandcoffee.com. Use the promo code Critical Thinking. You'll get 5% off your purchase. It's that simple. So go to coffeebrandcoffee.com, promo code Critical Thinking, 5% off today. And do you by chance have that tea flavor?
Yeah, they have apple pie tea.
Okay, now if I could drink tea, like if I actually like tea, that actually sounds good to me.
They also have raspberry something or another, raspberry rose petal, masala, oolong, chamomile, lavender, green tea, English breakfast, Earl Grey. You cannot miss it. Yeah, check them out. Coffeebrandcoffee.com. Promo code Critical Thinking for 5% off your purchase.
Do you know what would be really good though if they did this on a seasonal basis? Something with like apple cider.
Yeah.
I think that could be really good.
I don't disagree with you. I do not disagree.
Anyway. Cowboys Just Glad crowd is booing someone else for once. Is this to be or not to be? Andrew Coppins, your answer.
This is a tough one because I know that it happened. But I could also see this being a Babylon Bee. I'm going to go with not the Bee, though, because I know what this is in reference to. They booed the ever-loving shit out of Jill Biden over the weekend as she attempted to do Fly Eagles Fly on the sideline after a win. Oh my God. It is cringe. Like 100% cringe.
And this is happening in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, this is happening. By the way, this is the Babylon Bee.
All right, $50 back to Dominic Izzo, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Screw him.
Yeah, I don't think we even need to go into this story, though, because, you know, it actually is true. Sources, by the way, I believe they were all doing FJB and Let's Go Brandon chants, which it actually this article references.
Yeah, they did.
It actually happened.
It actually literally happened.
Why this is a Babylon Bee story, though, I don't know. It actually this should be on not to be. It actually happened.
Yes, it did. And with that, Pat, it is time for us to move forward. It is time for us to get into the heart of the WTF Wednesday. All right. As you are whistling along, where do you want to go first, Pat? This is your ship.
I know. And there's so many places we could go. Can we start with Eric Swalwell?
I sure we can. Do you want me to play the video first? Or do you want to set it up?
Let me just give folks what's happening here before we play this video. So Eric Swalwell has a new ad.
Eric, I sleep with Chinese spy Swalwell.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He has a new ad out that shows women being arrested and dragged away from their kids, their families, their homes, and being arrested for having an abortion. That's the ad. And I got a...
Oh, no. num 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 num.
You're weird.
He is weird.
But cute. Gross.
The hell? Mary Anderson?
Yes?
I have a warrant for your arrest.
Arrest for what?
Penal code 243 violation. Unlawful termination of a pregnancy.
You gotta be kidding me.
That is my personal business.
That's for the courts to decide, ma'am. Your medical records have been subpoenaed and Dr. Landry's already in custody.
No, my God, you can't just...
You will have to submit to a physical examination.
What? By who?
No one's touching
me.
Ma'am, turn around.
Oh my God.
Put
oh
your
my
hands God. Behind your back. Now.
Why is this happening? Love you, honey bear.
We're just enforcing the law here.
Elections have consequences.
Okay, I was going to warn you about this, but here's the thing. Andrew, you and I are both very pro-life people.
Correct.
Have we ever advocated at any point in time that women who have had an abortion should be arrested and in prison? Ever?
No. It's very simple. If you as a doctor are violating the law, you are the one that you perform that procedure illegally.
Right. Right.
You go to jail. You do not collect $200.
Correct.
It's that simple. That's how you enforce that. It's the same thing like, okay, if you wanted to advocate for the decriminalization of the use of drugs, okay? If you were to illegally sell those drugs, right? Which is kind of what California is doing, but not really right now, right? Because they have such a large problem with how they set up their legal weed operations, shall we say, that it is like literally 30, 40% cheaper to still buy it illegally. I'm just going to say this, right? The advocacy here would be to enforce the law on those who are supplying the issue at hand. Not those who are using it, those who are supplying it. That you go to the root source of an abortion, while sure the mother or alleged mother could be that root source, but the root source of supplying it would be the doctor. Alleged
Correct.
Doctor, because yes. I would argue that that doctor is not an actual doctor.
No, I won't say there's no one in the pro-life movement, but I think the vast majority of the pro-life movement would never advocate for this.
Correct. Now, did you notice also the ultra dramatic, the second that the husband comes and tries to protect the wife, they draw guns?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how that works. That's not how any of this works. You would know that. Also, what the hell are the cops doing with guns anyway? There, Eric Swalwell, you anti Second Amendment bigot.
He's a Chinese spy lover too.
Also, just a terrible person. Like,
yeah,
we just seem to elect the worst of the worst, not the best of the best, but the worst of the worst.
This is an ad for me, terrible person.
Yeah, he is an absolutely awful human being. Absolutely awful. He will do or say anything, literally do or say anything, or anyone, to gain power. It's just his whole process, whatever. But I want you to think about this, right? I here's the rub, though. While this ad is WTF, please continue to run it. Because what does that mean, Pat? They're continuing to not understand what the American people care about. Do you know where abortion ranks on the list of things that the American people, the Californian people, care about? Where this ranks?
Considering it's still legal there? No,
it is not in the top 10.
Right.
It isn't even in the top 10. Yet you're running ads on it. Go for it, man. Go for it. Spend all your cash advocating on abortion. Go for it.
Still illegal in California, by the way.
While interest rates are climbing to 7% to buy a house, right? While the average rate of wage improvement is outpaced 2-1 by inflation, right? While people are starting to realize that recession is real, right? While all that is going on, while we're potentially heading to nuclear Armageddon because we have a moron in the president's, well, I shouldn't say a moron, a mentally declining, at best, Joe Biden as our president. While all that is going on, this is the thing that you're going to advocate for and make sure you spend copious amounts of money on. Go for it. Also, Pat, the third part of this ad that I found absolutely insane. They already have two kids, right?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me they're going to abort a third one?
Yeah.
It, especially since one of them is a baby. What? Like,
yeah.
Like, I still have to feed that kid. The chances of that happening in real life, slim and none, and slim left town about 3 months ago. Okay. None of this ad happens in real life. Like, none of it. This is the 2022 version of throwing grandma off the cliff in the 90s, right? This is exactly what this is. It's stupid. It is absolutely stupid, but leave it to Eric Swalwell to do stupid. All right, we got more, right? We got a couple more here.
Oh, we have more than enough for today, but I think we have to go here next.
Where are we going next? We're in California last.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Sarah Gonzalez over at The Blaze?
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, I sent you a video yesterday because she apparently went to a brunch in Plano, Texas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we decided not to play this video, folks. There's a reason why, because we're not going to be the guys that are going to spread this kind of crap around. We're just not. It's on our Twitter if you want to look at it.
Or it's on Sarah Gonzalez's Twitter feed if you want to go look at it.
Yeah, so I've debated just taking it off my Twitter just because I don't want to be that guy. That being said, she attended an event in Plano, Texas. This happened to be a brunch and more specifically, a drag brunch. And in the video, you have a drag queen dancing and doing very provocative type movements. Not just
dancing. Exposing.
Exposing, yes.
Let's just put it that way.
And in this video, you can actually see, and if you read the comments on her Twitter feed, there is more than just this one child that is there. This kid can't be more than four.
Yeah, 4 to 6, somewhere in that range.
In there. And she's sitting back with her it looks like her mom, maybe an older sister, an aunt, and grandma. And grandma is like,
I don't think those two are. Those are not the same people, not same groups, Pat. No.
Okay. No. Okay. Fair enough. But
there's an older lady on one side laughing her rear end off.
Right.
On the other hand, as this drag person decides to, I don't know how to describe this other than lifting things up. Okay. Mm-hmm. As that is going on, you can see the instant regret on the face of the mom. Now, the reason why this is in WTF is because this is all two things. Number one, exposing yourself to a child like that is a crime.
Right.
Okay. That's a crime. It doesn't matter where it happens, how it happens, when it happens. You could never, ever, 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 ever do that. Okay. That's a crime. It's indecent exposure to a minor, by the way.
My question here is why didn't the parents pick that kid up and leave?
But what you can see is the instant regret and just cringe on the face of that parent. You can see it going, absolutely. Uh-oh. Now, okay, Pat, we've talked about these types of shows in the past. We've talked about, and I don't want to play the video, and I thought about it very hard about it.
Mm.
And yes, we don't want to give this more air than it needs. On the flip side, I also understand the argument of shining the light, right? I also understand that argument, but I don't have to shine the light on sexual exploitation. And that's what this really was. Okay. I don't have to shine a light on that. I don't have to show you the physical, right? I can shine a light without having to do that. Now, the claim from Sarah Gonzalez is that this was somehow a kid-friendly. This is what she didn't say as much, Pat, but this was the implication of what she was advocating for in this Twitter feed, okay? Right? Is that this was meant for minors, right? That's basically what she's saying.
Mm.
And this is the problem that I have with what she's attempting to do here. And this is why I think this is WTF. Because this is a square peg in a round hole. That's what she's attempting to do here. And we talked about this off air. For me, this is WTF on Sarah Gonzalez's part. Because the poster, all of the advocacy around this event, right? This is very clearly marketed to adults. Very clearly. Now, it is true that the venue is all ages, right? However, the original poster markets this to adults 18 and older. Literally says it on the poster, adults 18 plus. When you go to purchase the tickets, because this was a ticketed event, it clearly states a disclaimer that says, while minors are welcome, if you don't advocate or don't bring your children to an R-rated movie or allow them to see TVMA on television, don't bring them here. They literally tell you, do not bring your kids. Now, I can see the point of, well, then make it 21 plus, right?
Right.
You can do that on your ticketing scheme. I understand that. But as a parent, they are literally screaming and yelling at you to not bring your kids. So as a parent, do you or do you not have the responsibility to heed those warnings?
You do. You absolutely do.
Now, on top of that, if you make the choice to bring your child there, is that on you? Is that on society to then do something to the drag queen or whatever? No. Because the suggestion here from Sarah Gonzalez is that this is child abuse. By whom? By the parent? By somebody else? Who is this child abuse from? And then the advocacy from Sarah Gonzalez is take the child away. That we have every right to do that. To wait a minute. Well, okay. So maybe the parent didn't understand. Maybe this was the first time they've ever seen this, right? And they decided to go. And they instantly regret it. Are we really going down this road?
Maybe it wasn't intentional on the parents.
Because I look at this from two perspectives. Number one, I would never do this to a child if I had a child. I would never, ever, 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 ever advocate this because it is sexualizing my child. And I would prefer the innocence of my child, the truth to my child when it is appropriate, right? But that's me as a parent who also, as a libertarian, who am I to tell others how to parent unless that is physical harm being done? Because what is she advocating for? Basically, the government involving in how you parent. Okay, so you as a parent believe XYZ religiously, right? If you're Catholic, you are going to hammer home that contraceptives are aborted, right? That is the position of the Catholic Church, that any contraceptives are abortifacients, right? Okay? That's the position. What's to stop the government from coming in and saying that you're harming your child? Are we really advocating for government intervention in this? My suggestion is that it is social intervention that we need here. We need cultural intervention. No parent should ever be in a position to think, you know what, I'm going to bring this. And I brought this up to you off air, Pat. Would you ever advocate for bringing your child to a strip club, like a full-on strip club?
Oh, hell no.
Right? Hell oh, it's no. got a lunch buffet.
I still wouldn't take my kid to a strip club. It's got a
steak dinner, Pat.
I still wouldn't take my kid to a... I mean, I don't care if they're serving lunch. I don't care if they're serving breakfast. I'm not taking my kid to a strip joint. I'm not.
You sure? What's wrong with that? It's not sex, Pat.
They could have Sesame Street there, and I still wouldn't take them.
Do not give a drag show an idea, Pat. You son of a beach. What's next? Bert and Ernie writhing around on the stage? You bastard. Big Bird?
Okay, this was not my intent. My intent was like it could be.
Right. I understand your point.
Marketed to this kid friendly place, and I still wouldn't do it.
Right? Why wouldn't you do it though, Pat? Because social pressure, right? Because society says that is a no go zone for children.
Right.
Also, because the law says you have to be 18 or above or 21 or above, depending on. And if it serves alcohol or not, or whatever state you're in, right?
Okay. Right.
I understand that. But there's where you advocate for any drag show, any show involving sexual movements or whatever you want to call it, right? No minors allowed. Doesn't matter the venue, doesn't matter whatever, right?
I think the simple solution here is 21 and up.
Right, because again, a great example of this, right, is the school districts. They're bringing in drag queens and trans this and da-da-da-da-da, right?
Right.
Why are they not bringing in strippers? Why not? What's the difference? What is the difference? Honest to God, what is the difference between the two? There is none. You are sexualizing a child one way or the other. It's okay to sexualize the child into trans and queer gender theory and practice, but it is not okay to sexualize them and put them in positions that are heteronormative. Is that where we're going as a society? Is that what we're doing here? Now, I firmly believe that Sarah Gonzalez misses the point here, because this ain't the hill to die on. This ain't the show to die on, because the show and the people putting it on literally said, don't bring your kids. They gave every warning humanly possible other than ticketing to 21 and above. Other than that. But you as a parent also have some responsibility here. If you don't know that this is going to be that, don't bring your kids. If you are uneducated about what this is, educate yourself first.
Well, and if you made the honest mistake, which I kind of, I wonder if this mom and her family
did made they that make mistake. An honest mistake?
I don't know. I'm just saying if they did.
This will just be a really good time. You know what's gonna be a really good time, Pat? Watching a bunch of dudes acting like women, and they're just writhing around. It's so fun. Look at this, you pretty princess.
I don't know what brought them there. I don't know. I don't know, is all I'm saying. What I am saying is, the moment you found out, because you could see the cringe, the moment you found out, and you're going to have to explain to your kid, you
hit the eject button.
Get out.
Yep. And by the way, this wasn't just like a family-friendly version of drag. This was exposing, literally exposing, right well, the to dude the crowd.
Lifted up his dress.
To show his what?
We're not going there. But
yeah. On one hand, parental issues. On the other hand, government involvement. I'm not a fan of this, like I said, because this is slippery slopes never happen. Have you been paying attention to what's been going on in the gender queer theory bullshit? Have you understood that they're not just advocating for marriage between gay people, but other, now you must, polyamorous, polyamorous gay relationships can also have marriages and this, that, and the other thing. That's the advocacy that they're doing today. So on the slippery slope side of this, where's the line of government action here? Where is it? Sarah Gonzalez is telling us that it is child abuse and sexual abuse of a child. Okay, so then what about the belief of the Catholic Church when it comes to contraceptives? Is that abuse of a child, telling a child that they are not allowed to use those things? Is that not sexual abuse of a child, right? Based off of your definition, the government, you want the government to take that definition and that ball and roll with it? You better be prepared for them to use that as a weapon against you next. Because that's exactly what the government is doing today when it comes to, see, but if you just, you know what, you stupid rube Republicans, if you just accept marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, we're good. We're good. That's the line. That's the line that we're never, 10 years later. Well, now they're advocating for all sorts, right? Be careful of the slippery slope that you want to go down when it comes to government. Sometimes government is not the answer. Sometimes the society is the answer. The culture is the answer. We as a culture would never think to bring kids to a strip club. Why? Because we understand that that is a purely sexual act and sexualizing children is wrong. Until we understand that this is not playtime. This is a meant to be sexual act. This is sexualizing your child. Now, I would advocate that sexualizing your four-year-old child is child abuse. I firmly believe that.
Is it the level of abuse where you need to involve government? That I think that's the question.
Is this grooming behavior of the parents? Because that's where I would draw that line, right? If I can prove that the parents are grooming them into some sort of an ideology or a sexual identity at four, right? If I can prove that, then I might be on board with the government getting involved here because you are doing physical, psychological, and mental harm to your child.
There's a keyword there, though. You got to prove it.
Right. And so I would advocate that if you can prove that this person is not just taking them to drag shows, but doing something else or pushing them down the trans road, right, at four. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a little talk with Child Protective Services or the, you know, Department of Children's Services, right? DCSF. Wow. Anything else real quick?
Oh, let's see. Well, did you hear what happened at Boston University?
No.
They created a potentially unauthorized deadly COVID strain hybrid.
Have we learned nothing?
Yeah.
Creating viruses.
This is going to be in contention for my worst story of the week, by the way.
Okay. There's a difference between attempting to understand a virus that currently exists and creating, uh-huh, I don't know, man-bear-pig versions of viruses, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Have we learned nothing from South Park? South Park literally taught us this lesson. Like, almost 20 years ago, Pat, if not 25 years ago, when they created Man Bear Pig. They literally had a scientist like 20 some odd years ago attempt to splice a man with a bear and a pig genetically to produce Man Bear Pig.
But whatever, I do what I want.
Man, I get to get your big meat pie. Okay, they literally told us the bad results that were going to come from this. They literally, a stupid cartoon show, got it 25 years ago. Trey Parker and Matt Stone got it 25 years ago. What the hell is wrong with these people? I don't get it. These are the same people who advocate for, by the way, that documentary that I sent you, that are proud to advocate for animals like pigs becoming our organ donators of the future, right? We're gonna breed pigs to the point where they get put into like a farm, and that farm is basically there for me to be able to put an extra liver or heart or lungs or kidneys into. They're gonna become our pet organ donors of the future. Okay, these are these types of people, Pat. They literally believe that we're gonna take God's creation of a pig, right? We're gonna take that animal that is God's creation and turn it into our personal concierge for organs. What in the hell are we doing as a society? Seriously. These are also the same people who believe that, well, because these things are endangered, not because of human cause, right? Not because we're going and hunting them into extinction or whatever have you. Not because of that, but because nature is taking its course. We have to intervene with nature, right? We have to be the advocates for those defenseless animals. And then we have to conserve their habitats. And then we also have to make sure that we breed all of these people or all of these animals in captivity so that in the future, this species could survive. Why not bring a dinosaur back? Why not go full on Jurassic World, right? Jurassic Park. Why not do it? Why not? Why are we not doing that? Don't they deserve to live? It's insane. The scientific community has gone completely and utterly insane. And if you don't think that we're in the next wave of eugenics right now, Pat, I don't know what to tell you. These people literally believe they can play God. Mm-hmm. And they will play God with your mind, your body, and your soul if you let them. On that note, Pat, just remember the last bit of WTF.
One final note, Gavin Newsom to end COVID emergency declaration next year.
Is it next year? He just said February 28th. Of what year?
Yeah, 2023. That would be next year.
He didn't say February 28th, 2023. He said February 28th. He left the year off. When? What February 28th? You believe that that's going to be the 2023?
Yeah.
I do too. Yeah. However, that would also be insane.
Yeah. I don't know why you just don't do it now.
Yep. And with that, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And grifter Evan McMullen, or excuse me, McMuffin, is a gadfly swimming in a pool of gadflies.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew, 547.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.